Hello, friends, and welcome to this Good Friday service of Tenebrae. The Tenebrae portion of today's recording will be during the gospel lesson. We will break up the reading of today's gospel lesson from the book of John with chiming of the church bells to signify the last 14 words of Christ. So after each section, you will hear a church bell. Encourage you to pray and reflect during those times as we read the final account of Jesus' life here on earth. Let us come together now in a posture of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray. Grieving God on the cross, your Son embraced death, even as he had embraced life, faithfully and with good courage. Grant that we who have been born out of his wounded side may hold fast to our faith in him exalted, and may find mercy in all times of need. Amen. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents over the years, and any time we were seated together, at dinner, in a theater, in a car, at church, Morris would usually sit between myself and my grandmother, and every time, every single time, he would look at us and say, "A thorn between two roses." Of course, I always corrected him that it was two roses with a prickly granddaughter thorn on the end, but he always insisted his way was correct. Although he was joking about the women in his life being more beautiful than he was, we see that same idea in earnest in the thorns that adorn the head of Christ. Pain and beauty, a thorn and a rose. The crown that Jesus was given was already causing him pain. The thorns were making him bleed. The blood that was shed was starting to come down from the crown that he was given. Not just the earthly crown of thorns, but the blood he was shedding because he was the King of heaven, come down to save us by his blood. That red blood that we see in the color of the beautiful red rose. It was the suffering that made him perfect. We have seen it over this entire Lenten season. Christ could not come to perfection without the suffering and death on the cross. The suffering that started with the heavy crown of thorns. So I think Morris actually had it backward when it comes to thorns and roses and the death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus, the rose, was between two thorns, the crown of thorns he wore and the thorn of our sins that he was dying for. As we read the account of the last days of Christ tonight, let us all remember that what makes today Good Friday is the idea that through the suffering we will honor tonight, we will get the perfection of Easter morning. Let us prepare our hearts with quiet reflection for the reading of the last days of Christ in John chapter 18, verse 1 through 19, verse 42. Jesus went forth with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, procuring a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to befall him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the word which he had spoken. I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me? So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Judean authorities seized Jesus and bound him. First, they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had given counsel to the religious authorities that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. As this disciple was known to the high priest, he entered the court of the high priest along with Jesus, while Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the woman who guarded the gate and brought Peter in. The woman who guarded the gate said to Peter, "Are not you also one of the man's disciples?" He said, I am not. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jewish people come together. I have said nothing secretly. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. When he said this, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, If I had spoken wrongly, bear witness to the wrong. If I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me? Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, Are not you also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and at once the cock crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have handed him over." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The religious authority said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." This was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken, to show by what death he was to die. Pilate entered the headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight, that I might not be handed over to the religious authorities. But my kingship is not from this world." So Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After Pilate had said this, he went to the religious authorities again and told them, "I find no crime in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. Will you have me released for the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "No, not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no crime in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him." The religious authorities answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard those words, he was the more afraid. He entered the headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and a power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no more power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Upon this, Pilate sought to release him, but the religious authorities cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, and in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation of Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the religious authorities, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote a title and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Judeans read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Latin and in Greek. The Jewish chief priests then said to Pilate, "Do not write King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, one for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was without seam, woven from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They parted my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did this, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near her, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A bowl full of vinegar stood there, so they put a sponge of vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, in order to prevent the bodies from remaining on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the religious authorities asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and then they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And again another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fears of the religious authorities, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who had first come to him by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. They took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb where no one had ever been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, as the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Hear now the benediction. Hold fast to your hope, for God is faithful. Easter morning is coming. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.